Welcome to the first session of the Life Seat of the Soul Life School. This is Linda Francis.
And I'm Gary Zukav. We welcome you with all our hearts. The Life School is a new, dynamic, interactive program of ongoing support. And I'm just delighted to be with you in it.
And I am as well. And I wanted to say that I want to welcome all of you who are brand new to the Life School. That's really so exciting because I know a number of you have recently joined us, and I want to say welcome to you, and I want to welcome everyone else who's been in the program that we had before called the Authentic Power Learning Community. And all of you are all merged together now in the new, beautiful Life School. I'm so excited to be here with you. And I want to say that what we thought would be our first topic for the Life School, the beginning, is from the first chapter in the Seat of the Soul, Evolution. And, beloved, I would love to invite you to speak about that today so everyone can hear this beautiful story from you rather than reading it. Yes.
Evolution is the first chapter in the Seat of the Soul because everything that is happening to us now is coming out of the ground of our new way of evolving. Everything. The collapse of all that is old and now destructive, and the emergence like grass in the spring of all that is new, constructive, and conscious. We're in a period of overlap. A dying consciousness still exists, and its influence is being felt, but that consciousness has no future. It will disappear. A new consciousness is being born, and its influence is being felt in hundreds of millions of people. All this has to do with our evolution. I love telling stories. At heart, I'm a storyteller. So I'm going to tell you a story. And it's going to be, I think, the most interesting story you've ever heard. Now, speaking of stories that are the most interesting you've ever heard, what are the ones in that you've heard up to now that are the most interesting, that are the most pregnant with meaning, that have the most depth? I want to suggest that those are our creation myths. Every culture has a myth about how the human species came into being. We call them creation myths, not creation stories, because their origin is so far back that no one really knows how they began. And in fact, cultures and religions even fight over whose creation myth is the creation myth. And they can do that because no one that's alive now was alive 20,000 or 30,000 or 40,000 years ago. So the story I'm going to tell you is a new creation story. It's our creation story. It's not a creation myth, because we don't have to look at it as a myth, because it's happening now, because we are living in it, because it is affecting everything that we experience, and everything that we choose affects it. Now, this creation story is different from every other creation story. Well, all the creation stories are different, but this one is different from all of the other creation stories in the sense that it has two parts. It has a first part, and it has a second part. Here's the first part. Once upon a time, a long time ago, there was born, in its own way, a species that developed over time, that evolved over time. That species was much like us. It had a lot of company. There were many other species that were inhabiting its environment. This species was one of a community. This species walked upright like we do. And this species had five senses, just like we do. A sense of sight and smell and touch and taste and hearing. Over time, this species became a dominant species. That means that this species came to use, to manipulate, and to control all of the other species around it. In fact, because of the way that it chose to evolve, this species actually began to think that it could dominate its entire environment. Now, its entire environment was a powerful, living, magnificent planet, much like our own. In fact, exactly like our own. This species was limited in its perception to the five senses. This species evolved by surviving. That's all it needed to do. Well, of course, that's a big statement. Surviving is a big deal. But this species learned how to do it. And that's how it evolved. It multiplied, to use that biblical term. It came to cover the earth. And therefore, its way of evolving through survival came to influence everything that happened on the earth. How did it survive? It survived by learning how to manipulate and to control its environment. And that is how this species came to understand power, as the ability to manipulate and to control. And as that understanding of power codified, solidified, became embedded in its psyche, individually and collectively, this species and its members became a species that relentlessly pursued this kind of power. Power over everything around it. That is part one of this story. Actually, it is the prelude to this story. The new creation story that I have come here to speak with you about, you might say, is part two. It's what comes after the prelude. And that is the birth of a new consciousness. The birth of a new human consciousness. I think you have clearly seen by now that the prelude to this new creation story described our species as it was until only a quarter of a century or so ago. We were a five-sensory species evolving by surviving, and surviving by pursuing a power that we can call external, power over everything around it. That prelude is over. That's why I referred to the consciousness of this species that I was describing as dying. The consciousness has died, yet it has an overhang. Now that we're in the new creation story, it's not as though suddenly the old species disappeared and its consciousness and the influences of that consciousness disappeared. It's much more complex and rich than that. As the new species begins to emerge, as the new consciousness begins to emerge, it interacts, it commingles with the old consciousness, the dying consciousness. One is being born, the other is dying, and both are existing in this unprecedented period of time. We're living in that time. We are pioneers in the new consciousness. This doesn't mean that we are better than anyone else around us. It doesn't mean that we are better than any human that will come after us will be, or any human that has come before us. But it does mean that we are experiencing things that no human species has experienced before. This new human consciousness is built upon an expanded perception, or actually it's the other way around. All of us are acquiring an expanded perception because of the new consciousness that has been born. Now, what do I mean by an expanded perception? It means that we still have the five senses, but we recognize now that those five senses together form a single sensory system, and the object of detection of that system is physical reality. Here's the big news. The consciousness that's being born experiences more than physical reality. It's not limited in its perception. Its perception is not merely that of the five senses, but of faculties that are emerging in us that are as accurate and powerful and as useful and as necessary to us as the five senses were to the species that is now disappearing. We are becoming multisensory. That means we have more sensory systems than one. And as we move forward, the new sensory system, multisensory perception, is becoming more and more and more evident to us and significant to us, and the use of it is becoming more and more necessary to us. That is because, as a multisensory species, our evolution now requires more than survival, much more than survival. It requires spiritual growth. Oh, wait a minute. This is a game changer. Where did spiritual growth enter the picture? It wasn't even in the picture before. Of course, we had religions. Of course, we had some individuals who were multisensory. But the evolution of our entire species really had nothing to do with spiritual growth. And now it has everything to do with spiritual growth.
Yeah.
How does this new species grow spiritually? It grows spiritually by creating a new kind of power, the expanded perception of the new consciousness brings with it a new understanding of power. And that is the alignment of the personality with the soul. Does that mean the alignment of the United States with the soul? No. It means the alignment of you, with of your personality with your soul. It means the alignment of my personality with my soul. It means the alignment of Linda's personality with Linda's soul. Well, this is interesting, because how do you align a personality with a soul? And who can do it for me? Oh, this new creation story is very rich and very deep and very exciting and very beautiful. The only one who can align your personality with your soul is you. How do you do it? You do it with your awareness and your will. Awareness of what? Of what's going on outside of you? No. That's the focus that the old species had. Awareness of what's going on inside of you. And specifically, awareness of your emotions. This new creation story is very new and very different. In the old species, in the old species, emotions are meaningless. The only meaning that 5th century humans can ascribe to them is sometimes they're useful when you're scared so much you've just got to run without thinking about it, or fight even if you don't know how. Well, that's a pretty limited role, but it served the old species. Now emotions have come to front stage center.
Right, they have. I think they serve other purposes too. People think when they're angry, they have a right to be angry, and they can defend themselves, they can scream at people, and they don't realize really what the emotion is and what it's for.
Yes, let's look at that. Emotions for the new species are very important. For the old species, emotions were something like an inflamed appendix. Hurts, doesn't accomplish anything, and really the best solution is just to remove the appendix. But you can't remove your emotions. Some people try and have tried since the beginning of the old species. They've tried to do it with wine, with alcohol, with drugs.
Or with covering up by screaming.
Yes. But now we're going to look at emotions in a new way as very important. Why? Because our survival now requires that we create a new kind of power, the alignment of the personality with the soul. And your emotions are the energy field of your soul. You can't experience your soul, much less align yourself, your personality with it, if you're not aware of what you feel, if you're not aware of your emotions. And so, this new species, in order to evolve, is developing a new kind of awareness, emotional awareness. Emotional awareness in terms of the body. Emotional awareness that's very deep, very specific, and very accurate, and that can be articulated clearly. This new species, in order to evolve, is learning how to apply its will, how to make choices that create the experiences that it wants consciously, rather than to create experiences unconsciously that it doesn't want. This new species and the evolution of it depends upon the choice of each individual in it, and that means you. However, be aware, this doesn't mean that the evolution of our species is dependent upon 7 billion people choosing to create authentic power. It does not. It depends upon your choosing to create authentic power. Wow, now this is a game changer too. Because the old species, with its limited perception and its intellect that is linked to that limited perception, its intellect that is designed to use data of the 5 senses, cannot grasp what I've just told you about the new creation story. It cannot grasp that the evolution of our species and your evolution as well depends upon your creating authentic power. You're creating it and not on anyone else creating it. In fact, if you're waiting for someone else to create authentic power before you do, you're disempowering yourself. If you're waiting for escape phrase, a phrase that people in the new species sometimes use to escape their responsibility for creating authentic power. They say, I'm going to wait until a critical mass forms, and then I'm going to create authentic power, and I'm going to be part of the critical mass. It's going to be easier because other people are doing it, because 100 monkeys have already learned how to do it. Every time someone in the new species, and that includes us, says something like that, that person disempowers herself or disempowers himself. Creating authentic power rests slowly upon you, upon your choice, and upon the awareness that you choose to develop.
Can you give me some examples when you say creating authentic power? I know you said it was the alignment of your personality with your soul. But what does it really mean to create authentic power in practical terms?
Oh, Oh, that is the most interesting part of the new creation story. It can't be described entirely in broad brushstrokes, as I've just described it, the emergence of a new human consciousness, the expansion of perception beyond the five senses, the potential of a new power, authentic power. That's the broad brushstroke description.
Mm.
But the complete description has another half to it. And that half is your experience. So let me give you an example of what creating authentic power could look like. But there are myriad examples. I'll use an example of anger because I had that in my life. It used to be a large part of my life. So when I got angry, I would stomp about, I would shout, I would have no hesitation to express myself in angry terms. Some people, when they're angry, withdraw emotionally. That wasn't something that I did. I was even proud of being angry when I was in my 20s and earlier, when I was in the Army, when I was an officer in the Army, and afterwards for a long time. I was angry, and I would proclaim that I was angry, and I would tell people, I'm an angry person. I always have been, and I always will be. Mm. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, because I didn't care. A part of my personality that was angry didn't care what it did to other people. But because it didn't care, I never noticed what that was doing to other people. Mm. It was pushing them away. It was isolating me. People wouldn't allow themselves to become intimate with me or vulnerable around me. Mm. And so I didn't have relationships that were significant or deep. The only relationships I had were relationships with people who were angry, just like I was. And the more isolated and lonely I felt, the angrier I became. And the angrier I became, the more I acted in ways that created isolation and loneliness. You're doing the same thing, but you can decide, you can observe for yourself in what ways you're doing it. Some people feel superior and entitled. Some people feel inferior and need to please. Some need to get revenge. Some are jealous. But all of these are emotions that come from a destructive and unconscious part of you, of your personality. So if you're going to align your personality with your soul, if you're going to create authentic power, then you need to become aware of all of the different parts of your personality. Oh, my goodness. There's another game changer, number 3, right there. The old species used to think like this. I am who I am. And if they even thought in terms of personalities, like psychologists in the old species thought of personalities, they would say, I'm angry. Sometimes I'm not angry. Sometimes I'm jealous, and sometimes I'm not jealous. Sometimes I'm patient, and sometimes I'm impatient, and on and on and on. But multisensory humans have a much more sophisticated and accurate understanding and experience of themselves. Your personality is not a single thing. It's not a monolithic thing. It has many, many aspects. For example, I've mentioned several of them. It has a part that is angry, a part that's jealous, a part that wants revenge, a part that wants to die, a part that wants to kill other people.
A part that can't stop eating, a part that's gossiping.
That's right. That's right. But in addition to those parts, it has another set of aspects or parts with different qualities. And these are the emotions that you experience as patience, gratitude, appreciation, contentment, caring, awe. And these parts of your personality feel wonderful. That's where emotional awareness comes in there too. When you feel them in your body, they don't hurt like the other parts do. They feel blissful. They feel wonderful. And when one of the other parts is active, it thinks thoughts. And if a thought could be painful, it would be a thought that's critical or judgmental of yourself or others. For example, have you ever thought something like, she's so stupid, about someone else? Have you ever had a thought?
Or he's so fat.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a thought like, I'm so stupid? Well, that goes along with the painful physical sensations in your body and the destructive consequences that come when you act on those emotions. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, emotions such as gratitude and appreciation and caring, they come with exactly those thoughts. You're thinking thoughts of gratitude and appreciation and caring, and you're patient and you're accepting. And these are your thoughts, and your physical emotion sensations feel good. So let's make it real simple in terms of understanding. All of the emotions that I first described, the painful ones, the ones that have painful thoughts, the ones that create destructive consequences when you act on them, for example, when you act in anger or jealousy or superiority, put them in one basket and give that basket a name, a generic name. We'll call it fear.
I think that's a good name.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good name because it's an
accurate
name, and we'll go into that later as the life school unfolds. And the other aspects of your personality we'll put into a different basket. And we'll call that basket with another generic name, love. Now it's easy to explain exactly how the new species evolves. It's necessary for you to distinguish within yourself the difference between love and fear, and then to choose love, to choose to act in love, no matter what is going on inside of you, for example, anger or rage or resentment, and no matter what is going on outside of you, for example, news that your child has a very serious illness, or that your home is being foreclosed.
Or you're in a power struggle with your husband. He's yelling at you. Or wife.
Exactly. Or news of another 9/11 type event. Can you choose to act in love in all of those circumstances when you're angry, when you're enraged, when you're feeling angry or rage or resentment or jealousy, when you're feeling that painful physical sensations that lie beneath those, that are those, when everything is falling apart around you? Well, then you have some distance to travel.
If you can't do that, are you saying?
If you can't do that.
If you can't do that.
If you cannot do that, then you have some distance to travel. But
indeed,
don't feel discouraged, because all of us, all 7 billion people, have the same distance to travel, because our entire species it's not on the cusp, it's past the cusp of an old consciousness dying and a new consciousness being born. And that means this, that as we look around us, almost all that we see from the old perception is a leftover from the old consciousness. All of our social structures are built on the perception of power as the ability to manipulate and to control. And almost all of our interpersonal structures are based on the same perception, and that's why they don't work anymore. That's why they're all becoming dysfunctional. That's why they're all decaying, dissolving. That's why they are all disintegrating, and there is no way to save them, because they're not useful to our evolution any longer.
Because our evolution is about growing spiritually now.
It is about growing spiritually now.
Right. So are you saying that every time we act on an emotion that is based in fear, that means anger, jealousy, any addiction, anything like that, that we're actually pursuing external power?
Yes.
In other words, we're doing our best to survive. That part wants to survive in the way that it usually does and get what it wants. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. In the old species, when it felt these things, it reached outward to change the world.
So in other words, like when I used to be really jealous, and I would feel this energy of jealousy, I thought I had a right to try to change my partner, to get him, like if I was at a party and I thought there might be women there that were that he might be interested in, I'd take him away from the party. Or I would get angry and sulk and want him to come and make me feel better instead of doing my part, which was to feel my own pain and to know that's my jealousy. That doesn't have to do with what's going on the outside. Even if my partner would be interested in someone else, that's still my part to heal in me, to heal whatever I need to so that I don't reach out and try to change someone else, but I work on changing myself. In fact, I have done that. I've been working on, I've been changing the parts of me that were very jealous, and so I felt them, and I began to notice that when I didn't act on them, that they began to lose their power after a while, after feeling them over and over again. But that wasn't until I met Gary that I was able to do that. And I don't mean that he made it possible for me. I mean that I decided to do that. I decided to create authentic power after I read The Seat of the Soul. I wanted to do that. And so that's what I've been focused on doing for the last 22 years, 25 years actually, since the book was published. And it's really quite remarkable. And so that possibility of becoming part of this new evolution is so is what we're talking about today. And I'm so grateful that you're able to tell it this story in this way. It's so beautiful.
Thank you, beloved. It's not a possibility of joining this new way of evolution. You're in it. I'm in it. We're all in it. The transformation of consciousness that is expanding our perception beyond the five senses is entering the awareness now of hundreds of millions of individuals. And within a few generations, it will be in the consciousness of every human. You're in it. This is happening. And you don't have to make it happen. Some people, in fact, even try to deny that it is happening because they don't like what it is they're seeing. Now we come to the new potential of this expanded perception. And that is authentic power. That does not happen automatically. That requires your choice. That requires commitment and courage and compassion and conscious communications and action. And if you're going to align your personality with your soul, you must make the commitment and you must make the choice. And it's not a choice. You don't just say, I'm going to commit to creating authentic power. There.
Oh, darn. We have to keep doing it?
Yeah, I'm home. It doesn't work that way because your anger will continue to return. Mm-hmm. And your jealousy and your resentment and your superiority and inferiority and your craving for food or alcohol or drugs or shopping or sex or pornography or your workaholism or your perfectionism, they keep coming back. They are the parts of your personality that you need to experience in terms of your body, in terms of your thoughts, and challenge by not acting on them, by acting instead from a loving part of your personality while you're feeling the frightened part of your personality. And becoming aware so that when a loving part of your personality is active, you recognize it. You don't dismiss it as a passing good feeling. You say, that's the loving part of my personality I just experienced. I'm going to benchmark that. I'm going to remember it.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach for it the next time I'm angry or jealous or frightened so that I can act from that even though I'm feeling angry or jealous or frightened. Isn't that amazing? Did you ever imagine or even glimpse the possibility that the evolution of the human species would require such intimate, personal, and powerful experiences as these that are embedded in your utmost interior. That's where evolution starts, and that's where it continues. This is a big difference from evolution in the past. Evolution in the past was entangled and depended upon manipulation and control. At the macro level, it involved ideologies, political, economic, religious, and all the way down to all of the collectives in which we participate, it came all the way down to the family and to the individuals within the family. Now, that perception of power is toxic. What used to be good news is poisonous. Poisonous. And to evolve, each of us needs to create authentic power, real power, genuine.
And that's the ability to change myself rather than try to change other people.
Yes.
I want to say that again because it's so important.
Exactly. Exactly. There's another way of saying the key element in the new creation story. What is happening inside you, what is happening behind your eyes, is more important than what is happening outside of you, than what is happening in front of your eyes. The old species was convinced, because it was in the experience, it lived in the experience of its consciousness being changed by the environment around it. So if you became angry, you thought that someone else was the cause of your being angry. If you felt betrayed, you felt that someone else was the cause of your painful experiences of betrayal. And so to avoid the pain or to increase your joy, you reached outward to try to change people, situations, and circumstances around you. It's opposite now. It's the opposite now. When you experience, using that example, the pain of betrayal, instead of looking outward at the person that triggered that as the cause of your experience, you look inward. Why? Because you begin to see that your emotional experiences are generated internally. They're freestanding. They're not dependent on external events. External events trigger this dynamic in you, but that dynamic is older than your interaction, the interaction that looks like it caused your pain of betrayal. But that interaction just activated a dynamic that already existed in you, and that will become active again in the future, and again, when it is triggered by different circumstances and encounters and people. To change that, to change yourself, requires changing this dynamic within you, and that is aligning your personality with your soul. You have a personality. It began on your birthday. And it will leave the Earth School on the day that you die. But your soul existed before your personality was born, and it will continue to exist after your personality returns to ashes and dust. The question now is, now, in the new creation story, the utmost important question is, what will you choose to do with your personality? How will you use your personality? As you align your personality with your soul, through your choices, with your awareness and responsible choice, consulting also with intuition, then you come to the heart of your reason for being on the Earth School. one of them in the Earth School. And by that, I am talking about the learning environment of the five senses. One of the reasons that you are in this Earth School is to learn lessons that your soul desires to learn in order to evolve. Yes, your soul evolves. The old species looked at the soul as, well, in different ways, but all of those ways involved the soul being perfect, or the soul being unmoving or already evolved. But everything in the universe evolves toward awareness and freedom. And as you align your personality with your soul, you contribute directly to the evolution of your soul. And what does that do? It creates in you experiences of creativity, of vitality, of engagement, of meaning, of purpose, of joy. The creation of authentic power is the creation of joy. And this process, the process of creating authentic power, allows you to give the gifts that you were born to give.
Yeah.
That's the wellspring of joy. You can't. Before you were born, your soul had an agreement with the universe, a sacred contract. As you move toward the fulfillment of that contract, you feel engaged in your life, excited about your life. You want to get up in the morning. You want to contribute. You want to create.
Yeah.
You want to do the thing that's drawing to you, that's drawing you to it, not out of fear, but like a flower reaching for the sun. As it moves across the sky, the flower shifts and follows the sun, and you do that too when you're authentically empowered.
When you choose to create authentic power,
yes,
that's what creates that possibility of being able to know why you're here on the earth, why you were born. And as you do it more and more, the clearer you'll be about that.
Yes, and it may not come to you as an insight. Ah, I was born to create a new paradigm in business, or I was born to raise this child. It will come to you in a sense of purpose and meaning that is increasing or decreasing. And if it's decreasing, try something else. But as you align your personality with your soul, you become able to give the gifts that you were born to give. If you don't do that, you're not judged by the universe. You are not. The universe does not judge. If you don't create authentic power, you don't change. That means you continue to create painful consequences unconsciously without experiencing or challenging the frightened parts of your personality or experiencing or cultivating the loving parts. And you encounter those painful consequences and again are given the same choice to react in anger or respond with love.
Yeah.
This is the new creation story.
This is it.
It is a remarkable story. And I suspect that it is the most engaging, rich, complex, powerful, and validating story that you have heard or that you will ever hear. It's not dependent upon belief. It's not a dogma. Linda and I do not ask you to believe anything that we are saying to you. We're suggesting that you experiment with anything that you resonate with as you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you resonate, even if that resonance is a pushing away, experiment with what you resonated with. Try it out. Begin to experiment with it in your life. Sit with it. Stay with it. Let it steep. And if you don't resonate with a part of it, let it go.
Yeah. Indeed. And I want to say I'm so grateful that you've told the story again, the creation story, but in a way that goes into my heart deeper, too. And I noticed that, too, when I recently just read I picked up the 25th anniversary edition of The Seed of the Soul, and I reread Evolution, the Evolution chapter, yet again. So many times I've read it, and I'm always so amazed at how much deeper it gets for me to really understand it in a deep way. So whatever you're hearing today, you can listen to this over and over again, because it'll be in the library, in the life school. You'll be able to listen again and again and read what's in the book and just really take that into your being, this new creation story that we are involved in. And I'm so grateful.
Thank you, beloved. We are on an adventure.
Yes.
In the life school.
Yes.
And that'll mean different things to each of us. One of the things it means to me is looking at different chapters in The Seed of the Soul and finding ways to express them that I haven't thought about before.
Oh,
and
that.
Sharing them with you.
I love that.
So as you're using the study guide, if you are, in the back of the 25th anniversary edition of The Seed of the Soul, you'll find the same thing. You'll find discussions, in this case, of evolution, that were new to me when we created the study guide. And as you are with us in the life school, you'll find even newer, and for me, fresher, ways of looking at the same thing. It's not invalidating anything that you learn.
Mm-mm.
Different ways of communicating have different influences on different people. So pick your way, the way that goes straight into your heart, if you can recognize that, and experiment with what goes into your heart.
Mm.
And in the life school, I'm going to experiment with sharing with you what comes straight from my heart.
Oh,
and I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for being with us today.